who of faith could fail to be moved as we joined our hearts and tongues in the singing of those words, the power of the cross? You know, the world deemed that as defeat, as weakness. They got him. They killed him. Satan lost, because in that suffering, our sins, as Jeff mentioned, as the songs mentioned, were punished. And by our being in him, we benefit by that punishment, and only by being a part of him can we benefit by that punishment. In some recent lessons, I've talked about wonderful words that trip off our tongues so easily, but they are so significant. The Word of God. There are a lot of words of men that are significant, but there is something in this earth, in a text, in Scripture, that is the Word of God. I want to mention some more now of those phrases we say so lightly and yet so full of meaning. I'm going to mention some things that personally involve, things that God has done. We can set aside such things as, I don't mean to ignore, but for our consideration for the moment, a flood that destroyed the whole earth. There are greater things than that. Is the creation. Speaking of Christ and his part in that, we can go to John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him. And without him was not anything that is made, created. To start with what? In Hebrews 1st chapter and 11th chapter and verse 3, we read that God made all of this from that which is not seen, from the immaterial. His energy, perhaps. But from that came this tremendous physical universe. Astounding. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the God who did that, in John the first chapter and verse 14, and the Word, God, became flesh and dwelt among men. We speak of Jesus Christ being born, God coming into this earth. That's common to us. We believe that. And yet, what a phenomenal fact that is, that God, who made all of this, came into this earth in a body. And then there is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ as a unit. And in Romans, the first chapter and verse 4, we learn that Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. God made it. God came into it in the flesh. And then that flesh was put to death, but it was not left in death. That body was raised. Jesus spent 40 more days here upon this earth, and then he ascended into heaven, where he reigns as our King. When we take just those magnificent thoughts, we have such astonishing pictures of greatness and power and might and purpose and grace. We may call those things astounding, but astounding doesn't begin to say the significance of all of that. We think of things that are astounding, that we have seen, that we have experienced through our senses, and we say that was astounding. But if astounding describes those things, it is certainly inadequate to describe all that God has done. We sing a song about God, how great thou art, and he is. And in our prayers, we may recognize the greatness of God. But great is totally inadequate to describe all that. We don't have a word. We don't have a word because in our experience, the things that we have seen and the things we know and handle and touch, we send a man or men to the moon. That's great. What is that compared to God creating all of this? And then coming into it in a body and living, and then dying, but then being raised for our justification and to indicate that he was the Son of God. In the 20th century, when the great denominations rule the scene of what is considered Christianity, the great theologians who were listened to at that time were the face of Christianity, and they coveted the intellectual, sophisticated respect of the world, and they toned down what we have just talked about. They would look at Jesus Christ, but they could not admit his deity. They would look at his death, and they would consider what a noble thing that was, that he was such a good man, and he tried to get people to be so good, and yet they put him to death, and then they neglect his resurrection. Because they could not believe in such things as walking on the water. They could not believe in such things as the waters of the Red Sea parting. They could not intellectually believe in such things as someone walking upon water. They certainly could not believe in someone being raised from the dead. And yet there's this book and it talks about the resurrection from the dead. So of course, Jesus was raised from the dead in our hearts. And if we look at the pathetic creature that he was, that would be the wrong word to use. The noble person dying for a cause that he believed in, and it was a good cause, but he was put to death for it, but doesn't end there. Because we are impacted by just the noble sacrifice, the greatness of dying for what you believe. And so believing that, that ennobles us, and that's Christianity. And what happened? They wanted to influence the intellectuality of the world. Well, the world now looks upon them as totally irrelevant. You don't hear those men greatly quoted in the media as you did back in the 20th century. And the people fled their churches and those great denominations that ruled in the 20th century are just not significant anymore. They in their arrogance and they in their pride and they, in wanting to be accepted by this world, failed. And they have passed by the wayside. But their idea was this, to go to the book of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter and read there of Jesus Christ, that he was a man of sorrows. He was rejected by men. He knew grief. And that's how they leave Jesus. The Son of God, as simply a man of sorrows. He was, when he saw the leaders of his people reject their God, reject the purposes of God from the beginning. Yes, that was sorrowful, and he was rejected, and he knew grief. He could see the very people he was dying for after he has been beaten within inches of his life. And now they have nailed him to a cross. And they stand at the foot of that cross, railing and mocking him. And he said, Father, forgive them. That's why he was on the cross. That they be forgiven, that we be forgiven. That those on the earth, living on the earth, be forgiven. That they may be dwellers in their life and in their concepts, as Jeff just spoke of, heaven, that group. He died to bring all of that to pass. And so, yes, modern theology looked at Jesus as this sorrowful creature that we should admire. And in admiring his willingness to sacrifice for what he believed, then we can be ennobled in that. And that does not do anything for our eternal well-being. It does not describe anything as to what a Christian is. But there's a strange thing about how they treated him. And we can tend to look at that as he overcame everything they did. No, that's not what he did. He used what they were. He used their hatred. He used their putting him to death to overcome Satan, to overcome our sin, to give us the hope of eternal life. That's magnificent. And that's a lot about what that song said when we sang it just a few moments ago. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 4, the passage that speaks of him as a man of sorrows, it tells us that the chastisement of our peace, the punishment whereby we have peace with God, our sins needing punishing, were upon him. He was chastised for our sin. It was a victory that occurred there upon that cross. It was not defeat. He was not a pitiful character. He was a triumphant character. He did what he came to do. And then he was raised from the dead. And he was in control. In John the 10th chapter, verses 17 through 18, he said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. And if I lay it down, I have power to take again, for so it was given to me by the Father." The power to do that. Jesus was not defeated. Jesus was victorious. He said in John the 12th chapter, verses 32 through 34, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But this he spake concerning what manner of death he should die." He was not hanged. He was not beheaded. He was lifted up. And there they could scorn him and think they had won. They looked upon the victory of the purpose of God in what occurred there. And he was raised from the dead to show that he was indeed the Son of God. Of that great event whereby we can stand justified and be those who dwell in heaven, even now, that's the way we live our lives. Jesus did that for us. And he said this, "There is bread I want you to eat, remembering the body that I dwelt in here. There is cup I want you to drink in remembrance of the blood that I shed for you. This do in remembrance of me." There are churches around this world who are not doing that, or they certainly do it infrequently. Each Lord's Day, I thank God that when we come together to eat the Lord's Supper, we join with all his disciples around this world in doing that same thing on this same day. Let's eat the Lord's Supper.